This is Tom Over for Civically Engaged on WCRS Columbus. This program is part of an ongoing project in which WCRS seeks public input on how to improve our food system, with funding provided by the Puffin Foundation. Today we hear from Michael Jones, who owns Greener Grocer in the North Market and who heads local matters. I asked Michael Jones about what he thinks are the issues involved with not only making our food system more local, but making it better in other ways.
Well, I know that at Local Matters, what we focus on is the food system and the whole idea of change on a systemic level as opposed to focusing on one thing. So, for example, just to have a conversation about local food, I think, does miss some of the salient points about all that food is. One of the things we say all the time at Local Matters, for example, is food connects us to the most important issues of our time. And by that we mean you can look at health issues, because those are the easiest to relate to food, and especially to the food system as it's currently constructed, obesity, diabetes. We can relate it to environmental issues. Conventional farming is certainly one of the bigger pollutants of our water system, for example, one of the biggest contributors to carbon gas emissions, various things like that. And on an economic level, we can talk about how food relates to economic issues. For example, less than 1% of the food grown in Ohio is actually consumed in Ohio. And when you start thinking about the fact that we consume over $42 billion of food per year in Ohio as consumers, if we could move the needle from 1% consumed locally to 10%, it would have a huge impact on our economy. So the point is, I think the idea of not talking about local food, but instead talking about a local food system is much more relevant to at least the work that we do at Local Matters. Well, and I think at the end of the day, you were mentioning a person from OSU and them talking about a food system that's more compassionate and more sustainable. And I think where a lot of this is going is, people are much more interested in community now, potentially, than they have been before, for reasons I don't know. Some of it can be some of the recent economic issues that have developed. Some of it can be just events that are going on in the world. But what we see is that food really is that thing that can bind a community and bring a community together, because everybody eats. It's a common language. Everybody does it. So when you have tougher issues to talk with people about, doing it through food, either by sharing a meal or by having conversations about issues that relate back to food, is something that people can understand.
I asked Michael Jones of Local Matters about a working definition for local food.
Well, the best working definition that I could give you from Local Matters' perspective would be to eat food grown as closely to the place that you live. For some people, that's their backyard, because they have a garden in their backyard. For other people, it's via a farmer's market, because there may be one close to their home. But I think to keep it out of the geographic and the mileage lingo is just easier for us, because, for example, we used to talk about local being food from the state of Ohio, for example, because, in central Ohio especially, we can access food around the state in typically, 150 to 200 miles. But if you only talk about food from the state of Ohio and then you live in Northeast Ohio, for example, then, local food for you may be right across the border in Pennsylvania, because you happen to be closer there. So I think this notion of just encouraging people to eat as closely to, a local source as you can is just the easiest terminology. There's also, I will say, too, a differentiation that we make within our organization regarding local food and healthy or more healthful food. And I say that because, as we do, a lot of our work focuses on how can we help communities in need get access to healthier food, food justice type issues. Often there, when we start to talk to people about food, they're not as interested in local food as they are in getting healthier choices in the community instead of, fast food options. And to some extent, sometimes because of resource issues, meaning their resources are limited, bringing in conventional food that's, quote, healthier is a good place to start. And then what we can start to do is try to begin to make as much of that food local as possible. Because one of the things that we already see in communities in need is you need several different strategies in order to really address the issue of access. You know, in some cases that's people growing their own food, in some cases that's doing community garden kinds of things, in some cases it might be larger food production opportunities within a community itself. It might be a subsidized farmer market. So all of those are different strategies that can be used to get, you know, food into a community that's challenged. You know, our veggie van is another one of those projects that when we started it 2 years ago, the idea was, you know, we own the Greener Grocer. So let's take all this wonderful food that we're getting from local farms at the Greener Grocer, load it up into a van, drive it out into communities in need, do a roadside farm market, and sell the food as close to cost as we can, meaning as close to the cost that we purchased it for from the farmers as we can. What we discovered very quickly was it wasn't just access, lack of access to food that was one of the issues. The other issue was resources. People would walk up and go, wow, this food looks great. I wish I had some money to buy it. It was also education. People would walk up and say, wow, this stuff looks great. I wish I knew how to cook. So we recognized early on that access in and of itself wasn't the only issue. There were some bigger questions that we were going to need to answer. And one of the things that we came up with was that by starting to partner this idea of healthful food access with other program opportunities in the community was a smart strategy for us. So now, for example, the veggie van goes out to partnerships and partners that we've developed in the community, and we sell what we call a low-cost veggie van market bag for $12. So it's a bag filled with fresh fruits and vegetables, and you like a very similar to the weekly fresh market bag that we do at the Greener Grocer. You know, you get what you get in the bag. It's kind of like the CSA farmer's model. So whatever we're able to get in the market that's fresh and healthy and whatnot that week, that's what goes into the bag. We do a cooking demonstration when the veggie van stops so we can show people how to cook all the contents of the bag, and then we can hand them a recipe to take home with them to duplicate what they've just seen. So again, it's just back to the notion of trying to do one thing and affect systemic change often isn't very successful. You have to have multiple strategies to address an issue, and that's certainly what we're finding with some of the access issues.
This is Civically Engaged on WCRS. You're listening to a talk with Michael Jones, a local food justice and food security activist and entrepreneur. I asked Michael Jones how the local food movement might connect with other eco-gastronomical movements, such as that pertaining to raw foods or a plant-based diet.
I think the simple answer is they're all part of the local food system. So any conversation, frankly, that's starting to take place that's really moving people into thinking more intentionally about their food, whatever that means to you, and depending on what your interest level is, in general is a good thing. And anything, frankly, that's moving people away from processed foods and more into whole foods, again, depending on what your predilection is for that, I think is a good thing. And again, so therefore, those two pieces, meaning local food and the local food movement and all the different elements of food that connect people, I think all kind of fit very nicely under the conversation, under the umbrella of local food and the local food movement. Because frankly, they're all part of the system.
I asked Michael Jones of Local Matters to talk about a meeting he had a few weeks ago with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack and Ohio Department of Agriculture Director Robert Boggs.
Well, I think in meeting with Mr. Vilsack, who is the director of you know, the United States Department of Agriculture, what I realized was while there is interest within the USDA in supporting local farmers, there's also interest within the USDA of supporting conventional farming and commodity farming and export of food and so forth. Because at the end of the day, the USDA is about economics to a certain extent. And it was encouraging to hear that there's interest from the USDA in doing more to help support local farmers and the growing of local food. But it was also sobering, I guess, to recognize that a lot of the resources and a lot of the energy of the USDA are still going toward, you know, more commodity-type farming and export and so forth. And it also was discouraging, I think, or maybe the better word is it was just, it was a wake-up call that even though the there is talk about local food and supporting local farmers and the interest in getting healthier food via local food sources out in the community, there are also discrepancies within the USDA and some of the policies that they put forth that seem counterintuitive to some of the same things that you're trying to support. So for example, I was reading in the New York Times probably 3 weeks ago about the fact that within the USDA, for example, oversees school food to a certain extent in terms of the commodities that they make available to the schools. And then, you know, they're famous for the food pyramid. There's a lot of conversation about obesity, diabetes in children right now. You know, so part of the standards of the food pyramid talk about, you know, certain percentages of vitamins and fats and proteins and so forth. Well, all of that's coming out of the USDA. So the push is how can we help, you know, our children be healthier and make healthier foods available to them. Within the USDA, there's also a, you know, a marketing group that's essentially works in conjunction with the dairy industry. And their whole bent within the USDA is how do we get more cheese out into the communities and how do we get more cheese on everything? So when you start to think about it, those are really two different messages and they're kind of mixed messages because on the one hand, you're basically saying we're trying to do everything we can to encourage the sale of one of the, you know, the commodity products or one of the food groups, dairy, knowing that, you know, part of that audience is going to be children and as part of the food that they're going to be consuming related to that is pizza. And then on the other side of the coin, you're talking from the perspective of, gee, we're trying to do all that we can to create healthier food for children. So those things don't really go together. So that's part of the, I guess, the realization that I had in sitting with that meeting is it's very, you know, what happens within the USDA, as with many other government agencies, is very complex. And often many of the policies and programs are at odds with each other.
In a recent Local Matters newsletter, Michael Jones wrote that food connects us with the most important issues of our time.
I think they're, again, back to trying to frame some of the bigger issues in a way that people can understand them. I think what we recognize at Local Matters is food really is that great connector. So looking at health issues, for example, obesity and diabetes is a very easy one for many people to associate with food and the types of food that they consume, and to some extent, the food system itself. When you realize that, you know, in the current global food system, you know, food is very inexpensive, so therefore calories are cheap, so people can eat a lot of it. So there's one way that food connects us. When we look at the environmental issues, I'd mentioned earlier about because conventional farming is still the, you know, the primary way that food is produced in the country right now. There's a lot of chemical inputs, and a lot of those chemical inputs don't stay in the ground. They run off. They run off into the water system, or they're on the food that we're consuming. So there's a connector there to environmental issues, for example, through the lens of food. The economic issues we've already talked about a little bit from a standpoint of, you know, wanting, from our perspective at Local Matters, wanting to see more of the food that we actually consume in Ohio actually produced in Ohio. Because the other thing that really relates to is something as simple as farmland preservation. You know, one of the easiest ways to preserve farmland is actually to keep people on the land farming. So, you know, one of our notions is the more local food that's being produced in the state of Ohio, hopefully the more farmers who can stay on their land, and we tend to lose less of that land to housing, urban development, and so forth. So those are just a few examples, frankly, of how food really can connect us to some of those most important issues of our time. And there's many more. As you know, whenever we do these talks, we challenge people to bring up an issue, a hot topic that they've heard about. Healthcare and healthcare costs, for example, are going to be another issue that frankly relate directly to food and what we consume and what the food system allows us to consume to a certain extent. And an economic issue, meaning probably in the very near future, obesity and diabetes will be the thing that really drives the healthcare conversation, because the chronic diseases that are associated with obesity and diabetes are going to be that thing that, if you're a business owner, are going to consume, you know, more and more of your dollars as it relates to your employees that you're insuring. So again, all of those things, when you kind of bring them back around, connect directly to food and to our food system in terms of how it's constructed.
I asked Michael Jones of Local Matters about animal rights and factory farming.
Well, and it's certainly another contributor. If you go back to, you know, what are those things that, those important issues that food connect us to? I mean, CAFO, the, you know, concentrated animal farming operations, are a huge contributor to, you know, pollution in the environment because of the high concentration of animals and a lot of the runoff from those farms in terms of excrements and so forth. But also, when you look on the health side of that, I mean, one of the ways that you can keep animals in such close proximity is by giving them lots of antibiotics. Well, if we're consuming the meat of those animals, those antibiotics end up in our bodies. So again, I think just coming back around to, you can take one thing like that and you can really start to see how a decision to try to create a food system that mirrors a manufacturing system, and in for the most part, food just doesn't fit that model. It's not a scale it up to, you know, to the same level that we would do an assembly line for making cars. Food just doesn't seem to work that way. And yet, it's allowed the cost of our food to come way down, but the low cost of our food right now doesn't really reflect a lot of those hidden costs like something like a CAFO, for example, would exhibit.
There seems to be a paradox. On the one hand, food seems to be something that transcends politics by being a basis of common ground across race, class, political affiliation, and other things that may divide us. Yet on the other hand, food seems to be something that is very political when it comes to issues such as food deserts, fair trade, government subsidies, and the power of large corporations such as Monsanto, Cargill, and the Dow Chemical Company. I asked Michael Jones of Local Matters to talk about this paradox.
Well, I guess the positive out of that I would see would be that it is, again, the central part of the conversation. Wherever the conversation leads you, whether it is bringing people together around the table, for example, to have a meal, and therefore to have a conversation which people may not end up necessarily in agreement about it, or whether food itself is the cause, the root cause of some of the conflict in that conversation. I think the point is, you again have something that is a common denominator around which people seem to know a lot or have a lot of opinions about it, and therefore it's that thing that gets focused on as those issues are being discussed. So I think that's still a positive.
I asked Michael Jones of Local Matters for his opinion about the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Well, we have a person on our team who follows policy issues, and the Food Modernization Act is a great example of a policy issue that probably seems well intended, but unfortunately I think came from a food system. It came from issues within our food system that, frankly, if we focused more on local, smaller family farms where we knew the people who were producing our food, there would probably be less need for a bill that, frankly, is looking at how do we make our food safer. So, in essence, when you look at the global food system right now, and we go back to an issue, for example, like the CAFOs that we were talking about, where large numbers of animals are kind of pushed together, you're very likely to have some food safety issues just because of the type of operation that is. So now you've created a situation within a food system that, frankly, in and of itself, isn't very safe or healthy. And now you're creating legislation to, you know, address an issue, a rubber stamp kind of issue that's come out of that, when really what we need to be doing is addressing the core issue itself. So instead of passing a bill that's been framed, unfortunately, around food safety, and very few senators and congresspeople are going to vote against food safety, which is exactly what we've heard, I think it would behoove us to go backwards and look at the actual system itself that's creating a need to pass that kind of legislation. And I think we tend to see that with a lot of the policy kinds of stuff that we follow, which is often it's very reactionary versus, you know, having a willingness to really go in deeper and look at the very issues that are causing us to pass, you know, legislation like that. You know, it's kind of like this notion right now of salad bars in school. You know, I think salad bars in schools are a wonderful idea. Children need to have opportunities to have healthier and fresher food. But I think the bigger picture that's at stake right now is really to look at the overall food that we're feeding our children in school, of which something like a salad bar is a great start, but it's just one piece. And what we see in our work at Local Matters is there also needs to be an education component combined with changes in a cafeteria, for example, in order for us to have overall success with what our children eat. We used to, when we first started at Local Matters, we got a lot of calls from parents in the community who were very interested in seeing healthier food served in the cafeterias of their school. And they wanted us to go in and start working with the food service people at the school. What we recognized early on was if we just go in and start changing the cafeteria without really educating the children about a language around what healthy food is, where it comes from, how to prepare it, and therefore in a way create an audience who was going to be willing to eat that food in the cafeteria no matter how healthy it becomes, the overall success of that program was probably not going to be very high. So our approach became, let's start at the educational level. Let's really start working with young children and teaching them about healthier food so that as these changes start to be made in the cafeterias, the children they're ready for it. And in fact, they're asking for it. And that's what we're starting to see right now. Brookside Elementary up in Worthington is one great example. The principal there, Fritz Monroe, I think is a real visionary as a principal. And what he's done, based on some things that he's seeing at the school, is starting to take some of the recipes that we use with the kids in the classroom and has taken them to his food service staff in the cafeteria and saying, hey, our kids love these in the classroom. Would you be willing to prepare these for lunch? So they're starting to do a recipe in the cafeteria based on some things that we already know the children will eat. And it's healthy. And it's inexpensive. So it's just... it's a different way to approach that issue, but I think it's one that is likely to give us a greater chance of success.
Earlier this year, 2010, faculty and students from Ohio State's College of Public Health made a map of our city's food deserts. Places where residents lack access to healthful food, places where corner stores selling alcohol, tobacco, and processed foods far outnumber grocery stores. Experts and activists say this is a problem all over the country. Leading the Healthy Corner Store Initiative is the Food Trust, an organization based in Philadelphia. I asked Michael Jones what role Local Matters is playing as far as a version of the Healthy Corner Store Initiative right here in Columbus.
Yeah, it's something that Local Matters has been meeting now for about 4 or 5 months with our partner, the United Way of Central Ohio and the Columbus Public Health Department. And we have been meeting as three community partners who are concerned about, again, how do we help create the conditions for the community to feed itself and how do we help communities in need access healthier food. We've been talking about corner stores as one possibility because obviously there's a lot of unhealthy food in corner stores, but they're everywhere in a lot of the communities in need. There's also corner store models in other parts of the country that have been successful. So we are starting to look with our partners at opportunities for transformation of corner stores, or better yet, how can we work with a corner store owner to start getting some healthier food choices into those stores so that people in the communities can access them. And so we, I think, if all goes well, we'll have an opportunity this summer in the Franklinton community to be a part of a project there with our partners and also with the Ohio State University Center for Farmland Innovation. They just received a USDA grant to do some work in the Franklinton area relating to corner stores. So we're hoping that we'll get a chance to be a part of that. So there's one opportunity there. There's some opportunity in the Wineland Park community where we're going to be doing some work this summer. Also to look at the potential of a healthy corner store initiative in that community. But I think at the end of the day, what's really key with this model, or frankly any other, as we start talking about communities in need and food deserts and helping communities access healthier food, is first and foremost to really engage with the community and find out, you know, what is it that the community wants? What's their vision for a healthier community from the standpoint of food and access to food? What are the resources that they already have in the community in terms of food and how people are being fed? And what's their vision for, you know, what the model needs to look like? So in some cases, that may be a corner store. In some cases, it may be a cooperative. In some cases, it may be something completely different that we don't know about yet. But I think the trick is not to assume that we know what's best for the community, but is to really engage with the community on a deep level and say, what do you need and how do we help you create that vision?
I asked Michael Jones to talk about Local Matters' recent efforts at gathering information from members of the Wineland Park community.
We had the opportunity this past summer with some resources that we had gotten from a community funder to go into the Wineland Park community and engage with the community and, in essence, do what we call a community engagement and food mapping exercise. And it was pretty much toward the end of what I had just mentioned. It was to engage with the community and say, you know, what's your vision? We had already been doing some work in the community through the Schoenbaum Center, through Godman Guild, and a couple of other larger community partner opportunities. So we went back to them and said, here's an opportunity that we have. We'd like your help in terms of pulling the community together and do a focus group, essentially. So it was through some of those partnerships that we were able to bring some people in the community together and ask them that question of, what would you like to see in terms of a healthier community and as it relates to food? What was very interesting to us is there were, at least in this exercise, three ideas that percolated up from the community. They were very interested in seeing more backyard gardening opportunities in terms of ways they wanted to access food. They were very interested in the idea of a corner store initiative, but wanted to learn more about what would that mean. And they were also interested in gardens at schools that could be utilized for some educational opportunities during the school year for children and could be used in the summer when kids aren't in school to actually feed the community. So those were some of the first ideas that percolated up from the community. And now what I feel like we're charged with as an organization is to figure out how can we find the resources to, you know, to bring to the project and start creating some of that with the community. So it's a good example, I think, of going in and doing some homework first and then going back out into the community and finding the investment opportunities is probably the right way to say it, to bring some resources to bear on the project.
Local Matters lists on its website the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and the Ohio Department of Agriculture as two of its partners. I asked Michael Jones to talk about this partnership, given that some people have criticized the ODA and the Ohio Farm Bureau for promoting the interests of agribusiness at the expense of people who work small farms.
We as an organization recognize there's a difference between working with and partnering with somebody and supporting, you know, all of the policies of that particular organization. I think the other part of that, and we say this all the time within the confines of local matters, is do you want to be right or do you want to be effective? And our organization wants to be effective. And so to throw up a gauntlet and say, you know, the right thing, you know, doing this may be, may fit this virtuous stand that we would want to make in terms of being right, but is it really effective in starting to bring about the change that we'd like to see? So you're absolutely right in that, you know, the Ohio Department of Ag has had much more of an interest in conventional farming and commodity farming. It's the same with the Farm Bureau. But they also represent a voice for farmers. And I think one of the ways that we recognize that we're going to start to see some of this change is to start going in instead of saying, you know, here are all the things that we differ over. Well, let's figure out where are those places where we agree. So at least we can start to work together there and then see where that partnership leads us.
This has been a talk with Michael Jones, who owns the Greener Grocer in the North Market and who heads local matters. This is Tom Over for Civically Engaged on WCRS Columbus. This program is part of an ongoing project in which WCRS seeks public input on how to improve our food system with funding from the Puffin Foundation.